Oh, as we look through the Bible, understanding your character, understanding what you have done, we say, let your light dawns again to our hearts. Let us see you as you truly is, as the sun has revealed, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Okay, can the Bible be wrong, part 7? Can the Bible be wrong, part 7? Okay, to start with today, since we are looking at the Bible, we have looked at the words of the prophets, propheticals, prophetia, grammar, graphe, and there is something I just observed that we have not really discussed that comprehensively in this place. That is the difference between rhema and logos. So what do you think is rhema? So we just say, let's give him the rhema. Let's rhemalize it, the rhema. Of course, in the Greek word, both rhema and logos, they are both Greek words. So rhema is what we call a speech, an utterance. Utterance, speech. The sound. Things spoken. Sounds. Things spoken. That which is being altered. What is being altered? Whereas logos in the Bible is more of the intention. Logos in the Bible is more of the intention, the mandate. Logos is the reason behind rhema. So it's very reverent to say that logos is nothing. Actually, in that John 1:1, the word there is logos. In the beginning was the word, it was the logos of God. In the beginning was the intention of God. Are you with me? So because of the logos of God, prophets, people were now speaking. So the speaking of the logos is what we can call rhema. So the logos, if you look at it, it's very well, it makes the logos superior to the rhema. But today we have seen people trying to say, no, if you have not catched the rhema. Amen? Praise God. So it's not you can just look at it in the Greek yourself. You have very slight difference. You have to look at context of usage to actually see their difference. Amen? So logos, that is where we have the, and also the act of speaking. It's also called logos, the act, A-C-T, of speaking. Logos can be a doctrine. Logos can be a teaching. Anything reported in speech, a narration, the intention, that was the logos. Hallelujah. So of all this definition of logos, please stick with the intention, the reason, the cause. The reason, the cause. Don't just say logos. Some people, they won't go from the letter killer. They say the logos. They say the logos killer. Say you have to know the rhema. Abba. No. In that 2 Corinthians 3, the letter that killeth is the application of the law of Moses for men's justification. Put that one. Not just teaching the law of Moses. When you are presenting the law of Moses for the sake of justification, that is the letter that kills. So the letter that kills is not just something written. It's the teaching, is the application. When you are applying the law of Moses for the wrong intention, for the wrong end, that's what kills it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So can the Bible be wrong? That is part 7. Part 7. I've said it in this place. It's useless discussing the Bible without discussing the salvation plan for man. The Bible is about salvation. In the Bible, some questions you will have to answer is, what is man? What is the problem of man? What is the solution? Who is the Savior? What must the Savior do? What is man? What is man's problem? Who is the Savior? What would the Savior do to save? Who is the saved man? All these are what you will find in the Bible. That is why the Bible is written. From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, Agios Graphe, that is able. That's Agios Grammar. Is it Agios Graphe or Agios Grammar? 15. Which is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So, now, let me answer a question again today. Who is man? Man is a being of free will. Man is a being of free will. Someone who can choose what he desires. Man is not somebody that God can just rub up and down. No. He is a being of free will. E.g., you ask me, did God know that man will fall in the garden? Yes, he knew. But did God make him fall? No, he didn't. Genesis 2:16. God did not make him fall. He had a will that he acted upon. Man is a being of free will. You must know this. That is why we teach so much. Why do we teach? To persuade, to convince, to intrigue. That's why it's called preaching. Preaching. That is why 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We beseech you. You cannot command a man to salvation. In fact, you cannot pray him to salvation. Sorry to say. You must convince him. Say convince. So no matter how much you have prayed, you must convince a man into salvation. You must convince. Not decree, not be saved. You cannot throw salvation like you throw the power of God. Praise God. I remember there was a story that should be Smith Wigglesworth. He said he was just having a discussion with a man. And the man is on crutches. So they were arguing about something. Seriously in his office. This is who God is. This is the Bible. The man said, no, you are a false preacher. The man on crutches, so he came to Wigglesworth. You are a false preacher. He was angry. He was angry. Say, yeah, yeah. He said, you leave my office. What are you saying? He said, yes, I'm leaving. And the man just took his crutches and was going. Smith just took his crutches. Bow! Dimmy! Collected the thing from him. The man was so angry that he didn't know that he was no longer walking without crutches. And he think, I'm going. And he's going. Now got outside. Nothing. I'm still going. He still left angrily. But he left healed. Now, this is what I want to say. He saw the power of God. But yes, he's a man of free will. And I know. You know, there are some type of ogboju that people just do. he just collected the things from him. And he still left. He said, go! Don't come and take this one again. Oh. Praise God. Say, man. Man. So Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat of it, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God does not determine the actions of man, but he determines the consequence of the actions of man. What does God determine? The consequence, not the action. So when God was making this statement, did he know that man will eat? Yes. But did he make man eat? No. The intention of God is that tree of life. Oh, okay. I know you want to... I was fast there. You want to write something? I said God did not determine the action of man. He determined the... what? Consequence. Consequence of your action. That is why I love this way this man said, Joshua said, I present before you today, this day, life and death, say, but choose life, that you may live. So God determines the consequence of the action of man. Later, and I said, when God was making the statement in Genesis 2:16-17, he knew man will eat, but he didn't make him eat. So the intention of God is always the tree of life, which is a figure of Christ. Now, focus. But knowing that man will sin, the tree of life will also serve as a rescue back to safety for the man that has sinned. God knowing fully well that man will sin, he also put that rescue back to safety in that same tree of life that man is to receive. So that will be predestination. Tree of life will serve as a rescue back to safety. Why? Because he knew. So that is predestination. What God did as a result of what God knew. There is an intention, there is predestination. There is foreknowledge, intention, predestination. We see it pretty well now. So, e.g., the man in Genesis 2 only needs to become a new creation in the plan of God. That was his intention. That was the man in Genesis chapter 2. He only needs to become, no sin, he has not sinned, so he only needs to become a new creation in the plan of God. That is how God planned it. But the Adam in Genesis 3 now need forgiveness and to become a new creation. In Genesis 2, forgiveness is no longer necessary because there is no sin yet. But in Genesis 3, not only is it still necessary for a man to be a new creation, forgiveness must come in. Why? Sin has entered. Are you with me? So, God did not create man a sinner. No. But man is still a being of free will. Man must receive his intention. Are you with me? So, because of sin. So, in the predestination of God, he then made plan for redemption and put the package in the same tree of life. In that same tree of life. Same intention that man rejected. Oh, glory. I'll just keep saying the same thing in different lights. Just try and capture it and put it down in best of words. Knowing that man will sin, he provided a solution to sin in the same package that is made available to man. 1 Corinthians 15:21. Knowing that man will sin, he provided the same solution to sin in that same package. Same package. You get a better church note. In the same package. So, let me ask this question. In Genesis 2, does the tree of life contain forgiveness already? Why? Because God knew. But as man sinned, no. But because man knew, sorry, because God knew that man will sin, he already provided the rescue back to safety, even in what was presented to man. See 1 Corinthians 15:21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. 22, one to go. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So now see, in Adam all die. That first part was what God knew will happen. That truly happened. The second part was what God did because of what he knew. The first part, like in Adam all die, that is what God knew will happen. That eventually happened. Please don't sit alone. So you may need to just look at your friend's notes because of the way I'm going. Somebody was asking me that when am I going to make this note available? I said, just give me next year. Hallelujah. Since I think I have some of them in formats next year. Now, so because the first part was what God knew will happen, that truly happened. But the second part, in Christ all shall be made alive, is what God did because of what he knew. That is why today, receiving the Holy Ghost is both forgiveness and a new creation to man. When a man believes the gospel and he receives the Spirit of God, the Spirit of him receiving the Spirit of God guarantees him of what? Forgiveness, and also makes him a new creation. That is why salvation is not in steps, not in stages. It's not that God will first cleanse you, then he will wash you clean, then he will use blood. After using blood, he will put you in a washing machine, then wash you clean, rinse you, then he will now ask the Spirit to come. No, God cleanses you. God did everything by just giving you a Spirit. Acts 2:38. Forgiveness because of sin, new creation because of the intention. Don't forget that. Forgiveness because of the sin, new creation because of the intention. See, I say it again. One of the things that have retarded evangelism is because people cannot explain correctly. Do you know when Muslim comes to you, or when you get to a Muslim, and you tell the Muslim that you have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and the Muslim tells you that where is God's wife? That who is God's wife? That he will have a son. That, do you know, most Christians cannot explain. They just say, you have to believe it. You must explain. What we have been calling evangelism all these years is nothing more than just blind preaching without explanation. There is this thing that has been said that preaching is meant for unbelievers, teaching is meant for Christians. It's not so. You can teach a man to salvation. Go and look at Acts of the Apostles. Paul, we gather together in the synagogue, reasoning with them every Sabbath until they eventually believe. So, an unbeliever needs information. Not just say after me. I've told you, when you go to preach, don't use say after me. It's bad. Say after me. You just keep presenting the facts. Presenting the facts. Presenting the facts. Presenting the facts. Then you just ask for his response. Not, if you believe, say after me. No. If you believe, let me pray with you. No. Present the facts so much. Spend more time on the fact until he tells you that, okay, I think I get it. Just keep saying it again. Go through the same fact from plenty scripture. If you are lucky, if it's time to ask the Bible, tell him to be opening. Open like 10 scripture, presenting the same facts. Exactly. Is the fact that gets people saved. A lot of people have done sinner's prayer, say after me, they still ended up not being saved. Is the fact that saves. The fact of the gospel. So I said, Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, cancellation of sins. And what will happen? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It comes together. Hebrews 10:14, it happens together. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and in their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. Next verse, everybody want to go? Boldness. By the blood of Jesus. Now, where I was going is that verse 15. 15 says, wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. The Holy Ghost witnessed this fast. He witnessed the forgiveness. So, same Holy Ghost is a proof of our forgiveness and also why we are called the new creation today. In the intention, it was just for man to be a new creation, but in the predestination, redemption must come first. In the intention, all God wanted is for man, is for him to make man, for man to be in his own image, is for man to be a new creation. But because God knew that man will sin, he now put forgiveness in the same package. So we have intention, right? We have predestination. So in the intention, what's there? Become a new creation. But in the predestination, what is there? Forgiveness, redemption, yes. Then what? New creation. Praise God. So, predestination is the result of the foreknowledge that man will sin. Foreknowledge is what I knew, not what I did, not what I conjured. Foreknowledge is what I knew man will do. So, Jesus had to die, not just so that he can be a worthy prototype, no, but because man sinned. Because of the sin of man. Man fell short. I think we have to look at that word sin today. So, if man never sinned, now think about this. If man never sinned, he will still need the tree of life to become the man in the image of God. Mm-hmm. If man didn't sin, in fact, the sin is that he didn't partake of that tree of life. So, God predestined Christ to be both the sacrifice and the image to be received. God predestined Christ to be both the sacrifice and the image to be received. So, Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created, I say God predestined Christ to be both the sacrifice and the image to be received. So, Genesis 1 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. So, in time, I'm talking about in time, not when it is written, though, but in time. That means when this event actually happened, that will be foreknowledge. Darkness on the face of the deep. Where's the, what's the deep? What the deep there means what? The heart of man, right? So when God in the beginning is just speaking suddenly about darkness being on the face of the deep, that would be what? What God need? Because there was no man yet. That would be foreknowledge. God, imagine there was no man yet, no devil yet. You don't say there's no devil before this one. No devil, no Satan, no evil. But suddenly, we said, God is saying there is darkness upon the face of the deep. That is what God knew would happen. So, but see the next part. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. That would be what? In time. Predestination. Man hasn't sinned yet, but God, what God knew, and what God did because of what he knew, clearly written. So he was already talking about the preaching of the gospel. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Still predestination. How do we know this? That was what these verses were talking about. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3. The same Bible explained it. One thing we have been able to ascertain in this series is that the Bible explains itself. When you are not clear about a part of the Bible, please take your time and go through everything. Why? Because God did not give you a book without the order. In fact, you are not given the Old Testament without the explanation in the epistles. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light, that's the light in Genesis 1:3, of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Praise God. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6 wants to go. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined where? In our hearts. Do you get that now? The expression of Genesis 1. So God has shined where? In our hearts. So that light, let there be light, is talking about the activity of the preacher to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. The Bible clarifies itself. So you read everything together. John 5, 45, The Bible clarifies itself. The Bible always sorts out itself. Don't use the idea of Genesis 1:1-3 to create an image of an antediluvian age or an age of dinosaurs in the mind of people, an age where there was one man that God used flood to scrape away, like the white prophet told us. Whitish, is it British or Jewish prophet? Jewish, right? It's not Jewish. Okay. At least we know it's white. And he judges in white. John 5:45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses. What's the problem? In whom you trust. You are trusting an accuser. 46. For had you believed Moses, you wouldn't have believed me, for he wrote of me. So Moses wrote both accusations. He also wrote words about Jesus. See verse 47. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So these people, they will read a part of Moses' law. They will not focus on the rest. Just like the people that will go to the book of Isaiah and they will say, "You are, sister, you are wearing a Babylonian garment. You are wearing bangles. You are wearing chains that Isaiah prophesied against this man." You forget to read where Isaiah said Jesus had borne our sins. Let me of our meaning, even Isaiah, that is not even wearing bangles, he too, he was a sinner. To tell you that it's not about bangles and chains. So they read part of the law of Moses, they refused to scrutinize properly. They left some, they left the real matter. Check Deuteronomy chapter 18. They read the part that talks about the works of man. They left what talked about the intention, the plan, the predestination of God. See, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken. 16. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. 17. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. 18. Want to go? I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and put my words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto the words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. If you look at that place very well, Moses is actually saying, a man is coming that is greater than me. A man is coming that will have the word of God. If you now see what the letter said, that should be in John 11. They say, well, we know that God spoke to Moses, but this man, we don't know who spoke to him. They said, we be Moses' disciples. And when he healed that man that was born blind, that man was asking, they said, will you also be disciples? He said, no, we are Moses' disciples. We cannot be disciples. But Moses recommended him for you. So they stood with the law of Moses, the dietary laws, the laws of atonement. They forgot the intention. They refused to think on such scripture, either due to partial reading or a works mentality. A works focus on the scripture. John 6:28. That is why he now told them later, quit looking for what you can do from the Bible. Look for what you can believe. The Bible is written for faith. I've said that in this place countless times. The Bible, I think I learned that from Pastor Nyinga too. The Bible is written for faith. For faith. The Bible is written for faith. True faith, salvation, true faith in Christ Jesus. That's why, although in the new creation, we also give instruction. Let him that steals no more, mortify therefore your bodies and the rest. But we teach you this by teaching you the power, the nature at work in you. It's for faith. That is why there is no doctrine, I've told you, there is no doctrine of restitution in the epistles. John 6:28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, yes, let's read. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So write this down in your notes. Works mentality affects Bible interpretation. Works mentality, it adversely affects Bible interpretation. Bible is written for faith, salvation through faith. Say scriptures are written for faith. Now, I am not saying in any way that the Bible explained everything that needed explanation therein. But there is a reasonable amount of explanation in the scriptures for you to be convinced of salvation through faith. I am not saying the Bible explained all the history of the men. He explained all the small things that needed to be explained. I am saying the Bible gave you reasonable, voluminous amount of explanation for you to be convinced of what? Salvation through faith. Why? That is why the Bible is written. It's not an historical book. It's not a book for you to learn commerce, for you to learn beauty pageant from the book of Esther. It's not a book for you to learn how to kill enemies. It's not a book for you to learn kingdom principles, how David ruled kingdom, how Solomon prospered without fighting with anybody. And you are going to the book of Proverbs looking for the wisdom of Solomon, how he was the wisest man, and you are saying that is what you applied, and you now have plenty universities, you have plenty business. You are a fool. Foolish. Salvation through faith. Praise God. Salvation through faith. So, the Bible did just enough. And with the New Testament, the truth in the Bible is unbeatable. The new came to sort out the old for you. So, in the new, the utterances of men of old were collected. Write this down. In the New Testament, of course, let me just say, in the epistles or even from the gospel itself, in the New Testament part of the Bible, the utterances of the men of old were either corrected or clarified or discarded. Some were corrected, some were further clarified, and some were discarded. Corrected, clarified, discarded, also that the intention of the word might be clear. So, most times when you see contradictions in the Bible, it's either you are focusing on the wrong thing. Asking who is the wife of Cain is not a necessary question. The Bible has a team. Focus on where the Bible is driving you towards. Of course, we can intelligently answer that one. Because most of the time, the genealogy of, what was recorded? E.g., every genealogy that you are seeing in Genesis, in all those extra, in all those First Chronicles, you see plenty, this begat this. The basic thing everybody was, because don't forget, verse 17 of 2 Timothy told you, all scripture are given by the inspiration of God. Remember what I said about that place? They were God breath. So given, that means the parts that were given to you, God inspired people to write those parts down. There are parts that they were not inspired to write down. It is sorry to say, the genealogy of women they were not really inspired to write that down. Why? In the genealogy, who is everybody tracing? Jesus is coming. So if that is why we add so much on that. See, today now, of course, we know that Esau was the founder of Edom, but we don't really know the son of Esau, the son, the grandson of Esau. It's not necessary. Why? The Messiah already was selected through Jacob. So, now we have the 12 sons of Jacob, now of Israel. Later, you just see later that you can hardly trace who are the sons of Reuben. Later, who the Bible now focus again on the children of who? Judah. Why? The Bible is single, it has a singular focus. It's going somewhere to happen. Amen. The Bible is going somewhere to happen. Praise God. So I say it again. Most times, when you see contradiction, it is because you have not read enough. So briefly today, let's look at Adam's sin. The sin of Adam. Because this is the sin of all sins. This is a sin that most preachers should be preaching against. This is a sin that most preachers, this is most all preachers, such a sin that God cannot overlook. God cannot just forgive, it must be paid for. For centuries, men have tried to explain Adam's sin. Some said that Adam's sin is sex, that he had sex with the serpent. I don't understand that one. Have you not heard before? Some said he ate his tithes. That one baffled me. I remember I was in UK preaching with a guy. That was what spoiled our evangelism. And he said, I thought he was joking. That was what I would be hearing in my life. He said, if you are speaking and your colleague has to speak, and he said, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is tight. Tight. From where? I just asked him, sir, where do you get this from? And he mentioned the name of the man of God. He's a man in the circle of faith, so, that said it. And truly, I went after the video, I saw it. That man fell, all this thing happened because we took God's portion. God's portion is that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We must not eat it. Yet God put it there. Sad. Some said he ate an apple. That is where the apple is hanging on the gogongo. On the throat of men today. Who has big apple here? Let's see. Your eyes clear. You are free from sin. Hallelujah. Let me see your own. That would mean the more you eat, the more your neck becomes big, the more you are free. Oh, from the sin of Adam. Yeah, that means women are free. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. You are not, say the thing just hang there. You see, it refuses to go down. If you now read that yellow book of our wickedness brethren, they said they all drew the app. Red one. Not green one. Thank you. And they now said, okay. And when God wants to deal with that military ruler of Nigeria that was pestering Nigeria in 1996, I now sent an apple, a woman, to take an apple to her. Same apple, red. Rema. So the apple is deliverance. What do you call it? Amen. Isaiah 43:27. Isaiah tried to explain to us what happened. 43:27. He said, thy false father had sinned. 43:27. Thy false father had sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. So, what will that sin be? It cannot be stealing. Everything was his. It cannot be adultery. The woman was her own. She brought her forth. Amen? Abi? Abina. Where did the woman come from? From the man. So, Paul told us years later, clearly, no dark sentence. Just because we don't pay attention. As clear as clarity. Romans 5 verse 12. Please open to this one. This is where I will be spending the next 15 minutes on that place. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. I trust you that you're opening your Bible. That's why I'm not saying it. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. See, there's a good, even if you are listening to this message years to come, or you are listening on Facebook or something, there is an attitude we must all put to hearing the word of God. As even is good, although you say you are, okay, I'm not in the service, as you are hearing, pick your Bible to be opening. Be opening. Don't take it casual. When I was learning the word, I mean, I'm still learning, please, so far, forgive that statement. Years ago, when I listened to messages, I don't just listen, I, as he's playing in my ears, I have the hard copy before me. You can be listening to a message and you'll be making notes. It does something to you. Praise God. That you are just listening to a message, you're listening to a pastor's message or something, does not mean that you just take it casual. You don't say, okay, this is just audio. You are, you, in fact, you now plug the earpiece in only one ear. The other ear is listening to Don Jassy, Premier League, Arsenal, as Arsenal is losing, and the rest, Buhari's campaign. The other ear, you send some message, you won't get anything. It takes diligence. Diligence cannot be subtracted from Bible study, or else you always get half information. Good. 5 verse 12, Romans. Wherefore, as by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. 13, for unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. 14, nevertheless death reigned from Adam to Moses. Wow. Even over them that has not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come? 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, say much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. 19, want to go? For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Let's start from verse 12. Verse 12, the word sin in verse 12, write this one down, please. You must analyze this one with me. In verse 12, let's analyze all the words that are being used for Adam's transgression. Number one, the word sin in verse 12, that's the Greek word amartia. Amartia. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Amartia means to miss the mark, to fall beside. Just use the word to miss the mark. To wander away. Like there is a mark, you miss the mark. To refuse to partake in something. So it's more of what you miss than what you did. Just like you are lucky, you say you call yourself a typical Yoruba man, and you are lucky to toast the daughter of Bill Gates. And she came to your house in the slum you are living in Maraba. And she came to your house and he said, because she cannot prepare a bath for you. A bath with which soup? Ogbono soup. Say, you are not a wife material. You cannot prepare. Come on, Eba. I beg. Fashion, I'll go and look for one Ibadan girl that lives up in the sky bank. I and malasport. They will, generations after, you will not talk about what you did as much as what you missed. Imagine, go and rent Captain Cook, rent all the best cook in Africa. What's your problem? Amen. This is the daughter of Big Gate, for Christ's sake. Praise God. She doesn't need to cook, man. She just needs to be there. All this typical Yoruba man. See, if she cannot prepare. Hey, we're going. Wow. Yes, say your boss. I didn't know. Even in my house, I did my best to bind pounded yam. They will stylishly go behind me and see, do it. Don't allow him to hear. Crow. Wait. Can't we just be New Testament in our cooking? Eh? Do you think your baby can pound yam? Verse 14. Transgression, Greek word parabasis, P-A-R-A, then basis, B-A-S-I-S. It means a disregarding. Those words, they were used intentionally, a disregarding. Transgression in verse 14, that is disregarding. It means to create transgression. Transgression. Yes, to create is like creating transgression. Mm-hmm. Disregarding, basically. That, like a word used like breaking. Like we saw that in Romans 2:23, that thou makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law. Breaking. Of course, now, parabasis is from para. Just write P-A-R-A-B-A-I-N-O. Parabaino, right? Just like Matthew 15 verse 2, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Second John 1 verse 9, whosoever transgressed and abided not. That place explains it better. 2 John 1 verse 9. He said, whosoever transgressed, that is, abided not. The sin of Adam was not to abide in something. It's not about what he did as much as what he refused to do. Abided not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. Either abided in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. Verse 15, we had the word offense. Please write this down. Write this down. Write everything down. Verse 15, we had the word offense. Offense, that is paraptoma, right? Paraptoma. P-A-R-P-T-O-M-A. Paraptoma is a side slip. Paraptoma. P-A-R-A-P-T-O-M-A. A side slip. To a side slip, a fault, to fall beside or near something. So clearly, we have seen that Adam deviated from something, from a destination. God had an intention, God had a destination for man. Adam deviated. Verse 19, we have parakoe. In verse 19, we have parakoe. That is disobedience. By one man's disobedience. Parakoe is hearing amiss. P-A-R-A-K-O-E. Hearing amiss. So, the sin of Adam was that he left something. Neglected something laid down, hence invented something else. And like we said in the beginning of this study, there was just something, one thing that God laid down. God did not create two things for man to choose one from. God created one. The second choice is the result of rejecting the first, not an extra creation of God. Are you with me? Relocate. Change that place. Change your sitting position. Relocate. It helps. Go and sit beside somebody else. Thank you. Oh, glory. Where did I... So, from the beginning, God had one intention, not two things. There was just one thing laid down that man rejected. Now, what we saw as the second choice is the result of rejecting the first, not an extra creation of God. Don't forget, the man that wrote Genesis 2 for us, the man lived after the whole thing has happened. The man lived after everything has been done. So what you saw as a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, amen, is the result of rejecting what? Tree of life. There was no two intention. There was no two parts that God created. I mean, God did not place two parts before man. God placed just one before man. Adam, by not following the path placed before him, invented another path for himself. That is why, write this down, I will explain later. The best definition of hell means you will be on your own forever. Not that God will take you somewhere and be putting that guy on you. No, but you will be on your own. You will be independent of that life of God forever. Now it's worse than fire. I really don't know where I lost you. Hallelujah. So, the second choice is the result of rejecting the first, not an extra creation of God. Adam's sin will be to... So, what will Adam's sin be? It will be to respond with unbelief to God's plan. It will be to respond with unbelief to God's plan. God's plan will be opposite of the death we saw in verse 13. I'm not too fast. Not at all. Now, looking at the Bible purely grammatically, you will understand all I've just said. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Actually, a lot of things I just said, it's not written. So, I'm just speaking them. Okay. What I was saying is the opposite. See, that opposite is not here now. Where is that? So, 13. So, that death you saw in verse 13, God's plan is the opposite of death in verse 13. God did not put death and life before man. That's where I'm going. God did not put death, life. No. God's plan is that life. Death is because of the way death has been painted before us as something dark, devilish, demonic. So, I was saying, why do we have it written like God said, I'll choose life and death, select one? Because it was written after the deed has happened. Moses wrote it. When you know you're tired, you can just be up, just walk up and down, and don't lose me at all. Encourage me in this. So, you don't need extra rhema to understand all that. Simply to read everything very well. So, remind me, we should clarify this further in understanding Genesis series 2. Okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let's see something. Pharaoh. So, what is Adam's sins, brethren? Unbelief, right? Unbelief. God wants him to go somewhere. I am not going. And that rejection, it was not a day. It was not a single, it was a deliberate. No, you remember how we analyzed that place? It's not understanding Genesis, so it's one other series that I told you that Adam and that tree, that the serpent, Adam was not tempted. Huh? Adam ate. Eve was tempted. No, the world has blamed Eve for giving Adam. But why not ask me, when Eve gave Adam, why didn't Adam say no? He didn't question her. He didn't say no. And we also saw that when God now questioned him, he blamed the woman straight away. It's the woman you gave me. He shielded the serpent. So at least the wife questioned. If questioned, Adam did not question. So what did I say? Is Adam had been nursing the intention to eat, or he has been eating. Praise God. That is why if was not the issue. It was Adam. I would say if was deceived, Adam was not deceived. If it was deception, it's forgivable. But this is a deliberate attempt to miss a mark. Parabasis, paraque. Now, see Pharaoh. Now, these are epic and justifiable strongholds in the mind of man who don't read properly. The fact that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, they are epic and justifiable strongholds in the mind of those who don't read properly. Because tell me, how will God harden the heart of a man? And at the end of the day, God said, this man disobeyed me, and God punished him. We're in trouble. Behind the scene, God was screaming. Pharaoh, crack, crack. More, crack, crack. More, crack, crack. Moses, go and talk to him. So, with one hand, God was making Pharaoh's heart harder. With another hand, he was pushing Moses to go and do what he knew Moses, Pharaoh would not do. Can you see where in problem? Serious one. James 1:13. Let's start from there. James told us clearly. We just read this one together in our start of this. James 1:13. One to go. Let's read. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Want to go again? Let's read. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. That was clear. Checkmate. God cannot be tempted with evil. It's not, it's a statement of his finality. It's not probability at all. So let's see all the narratives. Are you ready? Exodus chapter 4. Let's see what happened. Exodus 4:21. So I'm reading lots of Exodus for you. Please just open there and let's do this together. Exodus 4:21. And the Lord said unto Moses, are you there? Good. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that you do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thy hand, but I will harden his heart, wow, that he shall not let the people go. Ah, serious. Exodus 7:3. Be fast. 7:3. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, thereby multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Exodus 9:12. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Exodus 10:1. Let's see everything. It is in that is, I told you, it is in seeing everything you will see the trick. If you just read carelessly, carelessly, God adding Pharaoh's heart, you will not see something there. So look at all the narratives. God gave you a full material. A man must study. That is why you have long life. To what? To study. To study. You cannot form a conclusion when you are not yet 18 years old. Say you are doing Bible study. You study. Spend time. Praise God. I don't say that. Exodus 10 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened. See that those words. I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servant. So it's, now it's not only Pharaoh. Also the heart of his servant. That I might shield this my signs before him. Exodus 10 verse 20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so he will not let Israel go. Exodus 10:27. But the Lord, like it's so much, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Exodus 11 verse 10. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let children of Israel go out of his land. Now, please write this down. Each time his heart was hardened, there was a message Moses brought to him. Each time we saw, if you read the surrounding circumstances, surrounding all those verses I just read to you, each time his heart was hardened, you will discover that there was a message that was brought to him. Same like the sin of Adam. His strong attempt not to be persuaded in what God has said. There was a strong attempt not to be persuaded in what God has said. Now follow me. Exodus 7 verse 13. Now see these ones. So all the verses we read earlier, they look like God did it. Now, see Exodus 7 verse 13. And he hardened. Wow. He hardened. Who is the he? Not written. Actually, the whole of and he hardened is just one Hebrew word there. Not, the he is not really there. Now, 7:13. Pharaoh's heart, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord has said. Now, go to Exodus 7:22. So, we also have verses that suggested Pharaoh hardened his own heart himself. It's not, the verses we have there is not only verses that said God did it. We also have verses that were saying Pharaoh did it himself. Are you with me? Are you with me? See Exodus 7:22. Are you there? And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantment, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord has said. See, Exodus 8:32. This one will be better. 8:32. Let's read together. Exodus 8:32. Want to go? And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. Wow. See Exodus 7:23. I love the way this one puts it. 7:23. Want to go? Let's read. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither did he set his heart to this also. So we saw Pharaoh doing something to his own heart, right? See Exodus 9:34. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder were ceased, he sinned yet more. And what? Hardened his heart, he and his servant. So here, it was Pharaoh that hardened his own heart. Now, we also have another shade in these places that didn't say it is God, that didn't say it is Pharaoh, that suggested a third party was involved. See Exodus 8:15. Now, let me start from here. See 8:15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart. Now, the ear was silent, and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord has said. But see Exodus 9:35. Want to go? 9:35, yes. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord has spoken by Moses. So, now, we have scriptures saying God did. We have scriptures saying Pharaoh did. We also have scriptures saying someone unknown did. We have scriptures saying God did. Scriptures saying Pharaoh did. Scriptures saying somebody unknown did. Rush to Luke 18. Before we go back to Exodus. Now, what does persistence, what does it do to man when you are pestering a man repeatedly over a matter? See Luke 18 verse 2. Luke chapter 18 verse 2. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary, I would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Why? Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Wow. One of the meaning of the word weary is to annoy. Are you with me? Lest by her continual coming, she annoy me. So now, to annoy will mean the result of the annoyance will either be you make him yield or you warn him out. Are you with me? So, as a result of the annoyance, you can either make him yield or warn him out. Now, I would have said, let's stop here and let's just conclude on that place. But I now saw something that is deep, that is strange. The meaning of the word weary there is to annoy. I mean, one of the words of weary there is annoy. So to annoy a man, you can warn him out. Warn him out. Or what? Make him yield. Make him succumb. Or just give up. You know, if somebody came knocking at your gate every night, and you have a dog like Captain, you either set Captain loose, or you go and attend to him. So that would mean your continual coming will do something either positive or negative. Praise God. Good. On the light at the back, and as usual, as we did the last time. So I would have said, let us stop here. But something else happened. Exodus 12, verse 29. 12, 29. Let me know when you are there. Something happened there that to me is not ordinary at all. And it came to pass, 12:29, that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, wow, that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Wow. 31. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. Rush to chapter 14 verse 5. See what happened. Very clear. Chapter 14 verse 5. Are you there? And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. Can you see that? Can you see that, brethren? Was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, all, and captains over every one of them. Verse 8. And the Lord added the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an eye and nine, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses, all the chariots of Pharaoh, all the horsemen, his army, and overtook them and came by the sea. Now, brethren, this is not ordinary. Somebody must be behind the scene. All your firstborn just died. This is not just any miracle. Sorry, I shouldn't call that a miracle. This was not just any supernatural. This is strange. This is super spectacular. Every firstborn just died. If it is just man, I think he should have surrendered. Go back to Exodus 9 verse 7. If it's just about the will of man, I don't see any will of man being strong to this extent. Are you with me? Somebody really must have assisted his agony of heart. See Exodus 9 verse 7. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the sheep of the Israelite dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. By who? Not written. Exodus 8:19. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But what happened? Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them. Exodus 7:14. See this one. Let's read 7:14. Want to go? And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refused to let the people go. Think about it. When Jesus was born, how old was Jesus? I mean, of course, when Jesus was born. Sorry, I was saying how old was Jesus. That was serious. How old was a man, a baby that was born? Anyway. Now, when Jesus was born, what did Herod do? All the children from 2 years and below, when the wise men came to pass, you know, God, like, that is why at times divine information, you keep it to yourself. Did God send you to the king? You first went to do national prophet. National prophet. And through your. Now think about it. At least maybe Herod was 50 years old. A baby is born today, and you are so afraid that this baby, he was called a king, will even if the baby is boss baby, how will he take over? Will he take over your kingdom in such a jiffy? That means at least for a newborn to take over a kingdom, maybe it will be 20. But that day, what happened? Immediately, Herod mobilized his army. Go and kill every baby from 2 years and below. That tells you there is something behind the scene. David helped us later in 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1. In the story we studied earlier about how David numbered Israel, 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now, that word provoke in the Hebrew word is like to stimulate, to seduce, to entice, to persuade, to stimulate, to prick. That word provoke, to provoke David. Of course, don't forget the prophet told us earlier in 2 Samuel 24, something like that, that it was God doing everything. David later showed us that it was Satan. So the question is, so who provoked David to number Israel? Satan. Was Satan on leave throughout Exodus? Was he on recess? Who would have been dealing with Pharaoh? Who is the man against the intention of God? Think about it. See this comeback to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Very strange. You don't see big people acting anyhow. Suddenly, every nation, they were against Israel. Why? I will show you. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are, verse 4, want to go? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. See Ephesians 2 verse 1. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And you are still quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, want to go? Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that walketh in who? Children of disobedience. He walks in them. He walks in their hearts. See 1 Corinthians 2 verse 7. Who never wanted the plan of man, the plan of God concerning man to come to pass. Don't forget, Satan never knew how this will happen. He never knew how God will do it. He just knew that there was something special about Israel. The best thing he could do is to keep them in what? Captivity. That is why every nation were fighting Israel. It is not ordinary. After Egypt, we saw the Philistines, right? After the Philistines, we saw kingdoms like Assyria. We saw kingdoms like Babylon came, like the Persian. They all came after just one nation. Why? There was a plan of God. See 1 Corinthians 2 verse 7. And when 2 verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Are you there, brother? Are you there? Come on. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8, want to go? Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So who was at work in all these people? Satan. He was not on recess. The same way in the book of Job, we find God, but only the guy that saw that vision in chapter 1 and chapter 2 say, Satan was there. Don't forget, the gospel unveiled Satan. Satan was at the ratio of the times that God was mentioned versus when Satan was mentioned in the Old Testament. In fact, it can be 1:1,000. It was like there was no Satan. It was like, as Jesus was born, Satan too was born in the New Testament. But he was there. That's why, I said something. I said, the dominion of Satan is what? Exam. Huh? Thank you, IJ. See all of you. Sheep, falling away. The dominion of Satan, the domain, the kingdom of Satan is ignorance. It's not sham. Ignorance. Satan rule. Satan is king when man don't know that he is behind the scene. There's a song that kept me one day, a Yoruba song. He said, Ijaka di timba ni ijata ole fojuri. I don't think it's like Joshua? Like a fighter that is fighting man that man could not see. So therefore, man will say everything it was God. Man was fighting an enemy. In the whole of Genesis, Satan was not on leave. He was not on sabbatical. But men could not see him. He prefers to stay behind the scene so that everything that happened, they will say it's what? It's God. Are you with me? Good. Now, this is what I was saying. That Moses could not discern Satan does not mean he wasn't there. This is why Moses was able to judge the physical Pharaoh. But later, the prophets in the utterance, they saw the man behind the scene. Ezekiel 31. When prophecy now became standard, when prophets now began to prophesy years later, in their prophecy, we now saw who was the real Pharaoh. Ezekiel 31. You see this chapter together? You encourage me by reading it with me. Ezekiel 31, verse 1. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the 3rd month, in the 1st day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me. Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to his multitude. Who art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar. Are you there? Was a cedar with fair branches. In Lebanon, with fair branches. With a shadowing shroud. And of a high stature. And his top was among the thick buds. The waters made him great. The deep set him up on high. With a rivers running round about his plant. And set out a little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Get understanding Genesis. That should be around series 5 or so. We trash this. Verse 5. Therefore, his height was exalted above all the field, all the trees of the field. And his buds were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of the waters when he shoot forth. I thought we were talking about Pharaoh. Who is this one? Verse 6. All the fowls of heavens made their nest in his buds, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadows dwelt all nations. Thus was he feared in all his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fair trees were not like his buds, and the sheer nut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. So, are we still talking about physical Pharaoh? Hello, fortunate. Henry T. Verse 9, I have made him fear by multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of what? Of Eden. Wow. While in the garden of God envied him. Therefore, he does say the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and you have shoot up his top among the thick buds, and his ass is lifted up in his height, I have therefore delivered him unto the hand of the mighty one of the earth. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness, and strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off, and have left him upon the mountains, and in all the valley. His branches are falling, and his buds are broken by all the rivers of the land, and all the people of the earth are gone down from his shadow, and have left him. Upon his ruin shall all the fowls of the heavens remain, and all the beasts of the field shall be upon his branches, to the end that none of the trees of the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top among the thick buds, neither did their trees stand up in their height, all that drink water, for they are all delivered unto death, to the nether part of the earth, in the midst of the children of men, with them that go down to the pit. 15. Thus said the Lord God, in the day when he went down to grave, I caused a mourning. I covered the deep for him. The deep. I restrained the floods, therefore, and the great waters stayed. I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. What do you think verse 15 is talking about? That should be the Red Sea. 16, I made his nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to where? Whoa. With them that descend into the deep and all the trees of Eden, the shores and beds of Lebanon, all that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. They also went down into hell with him. Whoa, so not alone. And unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were his arm dwelleth under his shadow in the midst of the earth. Let's read 18 together. I want to go. To whom are thou thus in like in glory and in thy greatness among the trees of Eden? Yes, thou shalt be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of your circumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all multitude said, hallelujah. Praise God. Who was that? Who was that? Pharaoh or Satan? That was never physical Pharaoh. So when the prophets were now talking about Pharaoh in the future, they didn't talk about him as just somebody that only acted in Egypt. They saw him as someone that has been acting from Genesis 2. Hallelujah. So it was a judgment for Satan. So it was Satan behind the scene. God never hardened Pharaoh's heart. The prophets just did not know better. Why? The fruit of the Spirit, they are the character of God. They just wrote down that God did everything. Fruit of the Spirit. What are they? Galatians 5 what? I said God did not harden Pharaoh's heart. The prophet just they did not know better. They don't know better what the else to write. But in their prophecy, we could see them clarify. That is why, if you now read Exodus, God adding, you didn't read David's account of when he was saying God adding his heart, and later, David said, no, God does not add people's hearts. It is Satan that adding my heart. James told us later, God does not tempt any man with evil, neither tempt any man. See, Ezekiel told us in 31 that, no. When I see Pharaoh, I didn't just see the physical Pharaoh, I see Satan behind the scene. See, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, that is the character of God, right? Is love. Now, explanation of love will be what? Joy, peace, long-suffering. Come on, yeah, you don't want to open. Abby. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Is singular, right? Is love. So now love, what is love? Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So not the fruit of the flesh. They are the character of God. So to push a man against his will is witchcraft. If God is pushing people against their will, that will be what? Witchcraft. And it's a fruit of the flesh. You see that one in Galatians chapter 5. That should be verse 20. 5 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. For God to push Pharaoh against his will would be God doing witchcraft. And that is not our God. Amen? That's not our God. Say that's not our God. Luke chapter 6, 35. But love you your enemies, do good and lend, open for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. Luke 6, come on. 35. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father in heaven is merciful. Now, merciful in the Greek means to be compassionate, to be of tender mercies. Compassionate. Be compassionate as your Father in heaven is compassionate. Go back to James 1:13. Be compassionate. Even as your Father in heaven is compassionate. So God is compassionate. He does not do wickedness. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. The word tempted there is P-E-I-R-A-Z-O. Pirazo. Pirazo, right? P-E-I-R-A-Z-O. R-A-Z-O. That is like to entice. When you are enticed, when you are examined, when you are taken astray, don't say it's by God. For sin, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of what? He is drawn away, but of what? His own lust and enticed. 15, want to go? When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Go to Hebrews 3:12. Well, it's already 3 hours. You still have minimum of 2 hours to pray. Minimum. Hebrews 3:12. Take it, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the living God. At cardia, evil heart, there means wicked thoughts in departing. Now let's look at this word departing. Departing, Greek word, aphistemi, A-P-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. A-P-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. It means to revolt. To withdraw. To desert. To keep yourself from somebody. Like you are refraining from God. It's not God pushing you away. It's the man departing from God. You are refraining. You are revolting. You are saying no. This is why we say the sinner destroys himself. Eh? The sinner destroys himself. He takes himself from God's word. See, the word of God is God's mercy. When you depart from the word, you take yourself from mercy. So if Pharaoh had received the word, that would have mean him receiving what? Receiving mercy. God's word is only about mercy. Mercy. The word to Israel is mercy to Israel. The word to the Egyptian, to Pharaoh, let my people go, who is mercy being communicated. Rejecting God's word is saying no, is staying afar, is refraining yourself, revolting, saying no to God's mercy. From the living God, from the living God, there means from a life-giving God, from a God that is active to bless you. From a, no, you say in departing, that Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4, 3, 3, 3 what? 3:12. Departing from the living God. He used the word living God there deliberately. In saying no to the life-giving God, Zaotios, Z-A-O and Theos. Zaotios, life-giving God. You are saying no to a man that gives life. So, you are saying no to life. Zao, that is Z-A-O, then T-O-C-H-E-E-O-S, something like that. So, you are saying no to a God that gives life. From the living God. Living God, there's no living God. There's no dead God. Amen? So, it's more of a God that is giving life. There's no living God, dead God. Living God means life-giving God. For a God that is active to bless you. In departing from a God that is active to bless. Now, see 3:13. So he came to Pharaoh through Moses to bless Pharaoh. This is why we say it's man that destroys himself. When you say no to a life-giving God. Hebrews 3:13. Now, this is where I'm going. I think I'll soon be done. Very soon. Just 10 minutes, I'll be done. 3:13. Want to go? But exhort one another daily. Why it is called today? Let's read together. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, adding there, Greek word, Skeleruno. Ske. Not like Skeleruno. S-K-L-E-R-U-N-O. S-K-L-E-R-U-N-O. Adding. Is stubbornly refusing to change one's mind. Like, adding means stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion. Like, when you are showed, like, that word means, like, when you are showed all the different, you are given, like, you, they prove it to you, they showed you, but you stubbornly refuse to yield. Like, to choose a course of action despite attempts to persuade you against it. You chose a path despite attempts to persuade you against it. Deceitfulness of sin. A delusion. Like, very, very serious word used there. Like, an idiosyncratic belief or impression maintained despite being contradicted by reality. Idiosyncratic belief or impression maintained despite Trisha, what's your issue? Amen. Is it training? Is it training? I have to do it like this. An idiosyncratic belief or impression maintained despite being contradicted by reality. No, look at those 10 plagues. Hallelujah. Praise God. So now, what can you say Pharaoh was enjoying from Israel before? Free labor, right? So, like Pharaoh, he enjoyed the free labor he has been receiving from Israel. And normally, he didn't want to let them go. So, the devil now came in to help his lust. Pharaoh had his own desire not to allow Israel go. But a man that would not allow captive to go despite those miracles, he already has an assistance. Do you get it? Pharaoh has his own self-delusion. What he knew what he was benefiting from Israel. So, naturally, he didn't want them to go. But why will he persist despite all those supernatural? Why? Somebody was now assisting his lust, which was Satan. Pharaoh just loves sheep labor, but Satan does not want Jesus to come. See the difference? So Pharaoh became Satan's boy. Like that, when I saw that, all your firstborn dead. One day you just woke up and you say, why did we allow them to go? That's not ordinary, man. They have done like this to him over the night. Praise God. So I said, on the natural, Pharaoh wants sheep labor, but on the spiritual, Satan never wanted Israel to leave Egypt so as not to focus on God's redemption plan. If Israel did not leave Egypt, they will not focus on the reason they are chosen. I've told you, Israel was chosen to bless the whole of the world. They are not chosen for themselves. They were chosen to bring forth the Messiah so that the Messiah can bless how many? The whole world. That's why he said, I want to make you guys a kingdom of priests. If God made Israel a kingdom of priests, that would mean they would be the one that will be reconciling all other nations back to God. Because priests must minister something. So if all of them were priests, we now go to the Gentiles to reconcile back. So Israel was chosen for the whole world to be blessed. You with me? So back to James 1:17. Let's finish this today. I'm there. Yeah, I'm done now. James 1 verse 17. Say, I don't hear amiss. Say, I don't hear amiss. Say, I hear the word. I do the word. I do the word. My heart is receptive to the counsel of God's word. I don't say no to my reality. When I see who I am, I stay by the word. I say yes. I am not rebellious. I always say yes to the power of God. I say yes to the redemption plan of God. I say yes to the indwelling of the Spirit. I say yes to the demonstrations of the Spirit. I say yes. Hallelujah. 17, James 1, 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from where? From above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no what? There is no what? Variableness, neither shadow of. There is no what? Variableness. It doesn't change. Say it doesn't change. Say it doesn't turn. And you're right, you say it doesn't shake, share, amen. It doesn't become black in the night, white in the day, and orange in the midday. No, it doesn't turn. 18, want to go? Of his own will begat he us. Woo! Glory to God. The God that doesn't change, that doesn't turn, he begat us. Hallelujah. That is why our nature will be like this eternally. Amen. Praise God. He begat us. He begat us. That's why our salvation is stable. It's not sinusoidal. It's not a fidgety salvation. It's not an hypertensive salvation. Salvation that disappears because of watching Game of Thrones, which you must not watch. I've told you not to watch it. Amen. Praise God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruit of his creation. Hallelujah. 19, want to go? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why 20? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness. Say, God is good, and I can see his goodness from all pages of the scriptures. Say, God is good, and I can see his goodness from all pages of the scriptures. Last to say, God is good, and I can see his goodness from all pages of the scriptures. So now, in line with what I'm done, in line with what we discussed last time, I was asking you, I said, okay, let's look at David and Goliath. I said, is it ever the plan of God for David to do what he did to Goliath? No. Is that the joy of God? No. Now, God has put men are in charge of the redemption plan. God never sent them evil. But look at Goliath. See the words he was saying. What else could David have done? Nothing. Look at Pharaoh. Although we can see clearly that it was God that told Moses, cross, and in fact, and I think in the next one we see it. Pharaoh was already returning back. Like in the midst of the Red Sea, when the thing was sticky, Pharaoh was already returning back to his hometown. Moses said, "No, you are not going anywhere. This will be once and forever." He closed down the sea on them. So the question is, well, look at those 10 plagues. What else? No, Moses started from small. This man was bent on not allowing Israel to go. Like he was bent. And it was Satan. I don't see a better thing that Moses could have done than what he did. Why? It was a rain of sin and death everywhere. Praise God. But thank God for Jesus. Amen. Say thank God for Jesus. Say we know better today. Say we don't use instruments of evil to promote God's work. We are children of the seventh day. We live in perfection. We know how to do God's will. Today, we do God's will, God's way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just be on your feet and pray in tongues, everybody. Thank you. We do God's will, God's way. God's will, God's way. God's will, God's way. God's will, God's way. Thank you, Lord. We don't do God's will in the with evil. God's will, God's way. Healing the sick is God's will, God's way. We don't kill people. We raise the dead. God's will, God's way. God's will, God's way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, we are praying from now. Exactly 2 hours we will pray.